Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
A second time in 24 hours, I found myself a prisoner of the Yugoslav partisans. Joseph had been killed, and Maria had managed to run off into the darkness. I was alone and being led into the headquarters of the monarchist partisans, led by the homicidal megalomaniac Carescu, a former hill bandit turned politician. I'd received many warnings about the danger of falling into his hands, so I was fearful of what the next few hours would hold. It was beginning to get light when I was taken into the small hill village, a place that had seen little change in perhaps 5 or 6 centuries. After being roughly thrust down the steps of a cellar, the trapdoor was dropped, leaving me in complete darkness. Feeling around the stone walls, I felt the shape of a straw palliasse in a corner. I lay down on it and pondered my grim future and the fate of Major Ramsden's column of fugitives, which I'd been assigned to divert from the entrance of Rajek Pass.
Major. Major.
Yes, what is it?
We've got problems. Or rather, I think we have.
Oh, it's you, Captain Saunders.
What kind of a cryptic message is this?
Well, I was going to call you an hour ago, but Dimitri stopped me.
Oh, stop being so bloody vague. What problem do you have that you don't have?
Well, I'll start at the beginning.
Wonderful idea. I'm waiting.
Dimitri's patrol spotted 2 large groups of Germans.
Hmm?
They were overtaking us, but keeping to the high ground.
Outflanking us? How many?
About 500 to 600 men in each group.
Oh, I can slice us up.
That's
like a...
That's not all, sir. Lieutenant Brzezinski reported that his patrol saw another large group of Germans digging in ahead of us.
The same number?
Yeah.
Damn it all. Why didn't you call me earlier? What time is it?
Just after 3, Major. But take it easy. It isn't as bad as it seems.
Oh, we're coming to the problem that isn't bit.
Well, yeah, you could say that. Before calling you, I put all the men on full alert, sent out more patrols to keep a close watch on the enemy's activity.
And meanwhile, I'm lying here dreaming of my garden and a wife I haven't seen for 4 years.
Well, just before I called you, something funny happened. Well, the crowd started pulling back again.
Look, I don't believe all this. You tell me the Germans have us completely surrounded, and now you add that they're retreating again.
That's right, Major.
Look, we're dealing with a Waffen-SS, Captain Saunders, not a troop of Boy Scouts. How do you know that they're pulling back again?
Both Dimitri and Brzezinski saw it themselves. The Krauts were digging in 3 miles down the valley, and then they formed up and marched off, abandoning the positions.
Which way?
The way they came, back into our rear.
There has to be a logical reason. Why?
The patrols are shadowing them. Another funny thing, they came in silently to avoid observation. But now they're marching out as though they don't give a damn. Smoking, talking, no precautions at all.
How extraordinary.
I was wondering. I mean, the war wouldn't be over, would it?
That's a thought.
Maybe Hitler's seen the writing on the wall and given up. I mean, even a hard nose like him must know he can't win now.
Yes, a very intriguing thought, Saunders. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Well, if the war is really over, maybe the Krauts will drive over and tell us when it gets light.
You think so?
Why not?
Wouldn't it be a feather in our caps if we went there and accepted their surrender? A very intriguing thought, Captain Saunders.
Yeah, even more intriguing if the war wasn't over.
Damned embarrassing, eh? All the same, it wouldn't do any harm to pop over there under a flag of truce and find out what's going on. A few cleverly put questions should do the trick.
Thank you.
Heaven knows how I managed it, but I fell into a sleep in that dark cellar. Not even the rustling of the rats disturbed me. I must have been down there for some 3 hours when the trapdoor was raised.
Englishman.
Yes? What do you want?
Como?
Where are you taking me?
To General Carescu.
I was marched out of the small building into a larger whitewashed house. Outside every door and window stood partisan guards in pairs. It was Carescu's headquarters. The room I was shown into was austere, just a desk and several chairs. I was pushed into a chair and told to wait. The man who'd led me there stood outside the door. After several minutes had dragged by, I heard approaching footsteps, and the guard in the doorway jumped to attention.
I am told you are an Englishman.
And you are General Carescu?
Yes. And that is the only question I am prepared to answer. Identify yourself.
I'm Lieutenant Paul Sale, British Military Intelligence. My superior officer told me you'd be prepared to render me assistance.
Did he? What is his name?
Colonel Egan.
Ah, yes. He's a man who expects miracles for the few supplies he sends us for our fight against the Germans and communists.
Well, there's been a lot of German air activity which has caused many delays. For the same reason, I've been sent over land rather than dropped by air.
You were told by Colonel Egan to contact me?
If I felt it were necessary.
And do you?
In my present situation, yes.
With the help of the communists, you evaded my guards at the bridge. Strange behavior for a man who wishes to make contact.
At that time, it wasn't necessary. I had two guides. Your men ambushed us and shot one. The other escaped.
Maria Wazek did not escape.
What?
No. The young woman was captured an hour after you. She killed five and wounded three of my men before she ran out of ammunition. My men report she was taken a moment before she tried to commit suicide. With a knife, Lieutenant, she tried to cut her own throat. Ugly, don't you think? A very strange behavior for a so-called ally. What was she afraid of, Lieutenant? Better still, what were you afraid of?
Now, look, my assignment is desperately urgent. When she knew I'd been taken, it was up to Maria to escape to the north and complete it.
But why attempt suicide?
Well, I don't really know. Perhaps she was frightened.
Oh, yes, the young woman is frightened. So frightened that so far she has refused to speak a single word. I find this very suspicious.
There's nothing suspicious in our activities, General. My assignment is to head north for
you
this...
You are bound for the place you call Rajek Pass.
You know?
Your intelligence services told me by radio to expect your passage through my territory. They asked me for to offer you safe conduct.
Oh, well, that's a relief.
I know also of your Major Ramsden and his force of escaped prisoners of war and how they are marching into a trap from which they cannot escape.
Oh, then you'll understand how soon I've got to get back on the road.
Yes, yes, and I would normally be prepared to let you go now without another moment's delay. I would even offer you an armed escort all the way to Rajek. But no... There is a mystery to be solved before I can do that. I want to know why Maria tried to kill herself. And you will stay here until I find out the truth.
I told you, Maria was frightened. She was nearly hanged by Pavchak, and after such a close escape, she was faced with being captured again.
I see. So Pavchak was ready to hang her. Interesting. Would you care to tell me why?
Well, there's no point in keeping it a secret. When we landed, we were to contact an old man called Ubak. He put us up. Carescu seemed so different to what I'd been led to expect. I told him the whole story from where we'd landed. He smoked and listened intently. Through the small window, I could see the sky beginning to lighten as the sun rose behind the wooded hills. As I talked, about 60 kilometers to the north, Major Ramsden and Captain Saunders were setting out along the rutted, dusty track towards the small village of Komasek.
I should have my head red, Major.
Why?
For following you. You Britishers are crazy. What makes you think the SS are going to take any notice of a white shirt dangling from an umbrella?
Well, it's rather obvious, which is how I want it to be.
Where did you find the umbrella, anyhow?
Well, one of the ladies lent it to me, Mrs. Carlyle.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised you're not wearing a pinstripe suit and a bowler hat.
Oh, I doubt if the enemy would take my city clothes very seriously.
I give up.
Hello?
Not that voice. Oh, no, it's Lady Agnes.
Look, keep walking. Pretend you haven't heard.
She's running behind us.
Oh, damn it all. What does she want?
Major, wait for me.
If the crowd see her, it'll frighten them all together.
The woman's a menace. I suppose we'd better wait and see what she has to say.
Well, I don't know what I'm more scared of. The crowds or Lady Agnes?
A lady any time.
Oh, Major. I thought I was never going to catch up.
Madam, do you realize what we're about?
Oh, don't be silly. Of course I do. Mrs. Carlyle told me. Going to talk to the Germans, indeed.
Do you wish us to convey your compliments to them? Is that why you're here?
Compliments? Oh, I want to give them a piece of my mind. When I think of all the indignities I suffered as an internee, my goodness, I told them. I tell them what I thought of them, and I'm not going to miss this chance.
Lady Agnes, please, you can't come with us.
I am not one of your minions. Just you try and stop me. I have to do my duty, Major.
What duty?
As spokesman for these poor women and children back there. They have a right to be heard, too.
When I finished telling Carescu about our journey, he sat for a long time, silent and thoughtful. In fact, he lit and smoked a whole cigarette before speaking.
This woman, she gave a very poor excuse for shooting Ubak, almost as though she had another motive.
How do you mean?
Is it possible she betrayed you to the Germans so that they could be waiting at your landing point?
I don't think so. She could have been killed as well.
Fanatics don't care about being killed as long as their cause is being served. How did she behave when the Germans opened fire?
Let me see. Yes, the shooting started. It was a bit wild at first. Joseph and I ran from the jetty and hid in the long grass. Maria joined us a few minutes later.
She did not run when you did.
Not at first. Her reaction was slower.
You mean she deliberately held back? Then when she discovered Ubak was an important agent for the Allies, she found an excuse to kill him. Lieutenant, the woman is working for the Germans.
Where is Maria now?
Being interrogated. Korpek is a very thorough man. Few prisoners can withstand his methods. I think she will be happy to tell us the truth before long.
And meanwhile, precious time is being lost.
Yes, is it not strange? Women spend most of our lives stopping women from talking. This one won't utter a single word.
I must have dropped off for a few minutes. It was a late night. What are you looking so excited about?
A very strange thing, Herr Mayor. One of the patrols report two men and a woman approaching the village from the direction of the fugitives.
Two men and a woman?
Do you think they want to surrender?
I hope not. You know how awkward that would be. In 4 days, we could be trying to hold out on the eastern border against a screaming horde of Russian troops. No, if they want to talk terms for surrender, I must refuse.
How can we refuse?
I shall tell them they must fight or run.
Even if their surrender is unconditional?
Whatever they say, the game must be played on for as long as possible. Just think of those Bolshevik hordes, Vesa. As fast as you shoot one, another 10 pop up and shoot back.
Yeah.
Believe me, they are chasing escaped prisoners through this beautiful countryside is far preferable.
Yeah, I agree, Herr Mayor. Do you wish to meet this deputation?
No. Take a small patrol and meet them yourself. Bring them here to the schoolhouse. Oh, yeah, tell Gruber to clear away the dirty glasses and make my bed.
Yeah, I
can't have the place looking untidy, can we? And hide the bullet holes I put through the radio.
Yeah,
transmitter.
Mayor.
Really? You think the Yugoslavs should have done something about these so-called rogues? They're absolutely disgraceful.
Hey, look ahead, Major. Krauts in black uniforms.
Ah, yes. At last. I thought this walk was never going to end. Hold your brolly high, Major. We don't want them shooting at us.
I know what to do, madam.
That white shirt you have tied to it is filthy. Honestly, Major Ramsden, I'm sure you could have found something cleaner.
I'm not here to advertise washing soap. The shirt is clearly white.
That's an officer leading them. Walking for it on his own. Do you want me to go and meet him?
Indeed not. We'll stand here and let him come to us.
Okay.
Straighten up, Saunders. Oh. And for heaven's sake, stop grinning like a Cheshire cat.
Look at him. Typical Nazi. I'm tempted to snatch that brolly and give him a good hiding with it. Oh, just look at the arrogance. Don nearly lost the war, yet still they strut about as though they own the world. I trust you'll take him down a peg or two, Major.
Lady Agnes, please, let me do the talking.
Certainly, as long as you say the right things.
Stay where you are.
I intend to. You may approach.
Identify yourselves.
Major Clifford Ramsden of His Majesty's Royal Artillery. I wish to talk to your commanding officer.
Who are you?
Captain Martin Sanders, U.S. Army Air Force.
Both of you are escaped prisoners, yeah?
I repeat, I wish to see your commanding officer.
Who is the woman?
I am Lady Agnes Collier, young man, and you will kindly address me with respect.
Herr Major Ramsden, my commanding officer is Major Scheer. He is waiting to see you at his headquarters in Comasay. Please follow me.
I must have been talking to Carescu for well over an hour before he suddenly stood up, excused himself, and left. The door remained open, and a guard stood outside. Carescu returned a few minutes later. He wore a frown, which I took as a danger signal.
I have been to see the woman. She still remains silent.
Let me talk to her. Perhaps she thinks my mission must be kept from you, and maybe...
She knows we have all this information. She has taken a lot of punishment, but will say nothing about herself. Your other companion, the man who was shot, Yosef, he was a genuine patriot. I've had people checking on their identities. Yosef's past is known. For the woman, Maria... Her past is like a stone wall.
I was told she escaped from the concentration camp with Joseph.
That we have established. I am interested in what Maria was doing before. Was she with a partisan group, as she told you? Or was she placed into the concentration camp as a spy?
Look, I'm sure there's a much simpler explanation for her silence. Can I talk to her?
You are concerned for her safety?
Yes, I am.
Perhaps you are in love with her. She is very beautiful.
No, I'm not in love with Maria. But she says she's in love with me.
Ah, a one-sided love affair. The worst kind. Have you been close to her? Made love to her?
Well, yes.
I see. Yes, you can talk to her.
Thank you, General.
Do not thank me yet, Lieutenant. You may learn things you do not want to know.
Carescu accompanied me out of the room and outside to a small cottage. In what had once been the kitchen-cum-living room, I saw Maria. She was stretched out naked on a wooden table, her limbs secured by cord running beneath the table. Her head hung over one end, and a cord was about her neck, from which hung a wooden pail. A man was slowly filling it with water, which gradually increased the pressure on her neck. Her eyes were firmly clamped shut. I gasped with horror at the sight.
That is enough for the present, Kornbeck. I think you are losing your skill. Hurry, untie the woman.
She will fight.
Not when she sees her visitor. Now hurry, Kornbeck. Here, throw this blanket over her for the sake of decency.
General Carescu, how could you allow this to be done to a woman?
Have you seen what the Germans do? This is not a war for the squeamish, Lieutenant. All right, Korpek, come outside and leave the Englishman with his woman.
For a moment, I stared at Maria in horrified silence. She sat on the edge of the table, a dirty brown blanket draped over her. She looked back at me, her eyes dull and resigned. I went to her and put my arms on her shoulders. Maria.
So, they did not shoot you.
Carrescu knows all about our assignment. Why did you stay silent?
I was not questioned about the assignment. They want to know about me. Who I am, where I came from. I will never tell them.
Why not, Maria? Carrescu told me you tried to kill yourself.
Yes, I was too slow. A knife snagged in my shirt and I...
Why, Maria, why? That's what aroused Carrescu's suspicions.
Paul, I begged you not to come into this territory. Had we gone a few kilometers to the west, there would have been little danger.
What are you hiding, Maria? Is what Carrescu thinks true?
How would I know what he thinks?
He thinks you're a Nazi sympathizer, a spy for them.
Yes, I thought so. Sooner or later, that man Korpek will break me. He knows how to do it. His present methods of torturing me are only games for his own pleasure.
What are you saying?
That Carrescu is right. Paul, I am working for the Germans.
What?
For 2 years now.
Oh, no. Maria. How? Why?
How long have they given you to speak to me?
Until I call outside.
Then there is time. Paul, I worked for the Germans because I thought it was for Yugoslavia's good. You see for yourself how confused the politics are here. The Germans came and I thought they would bring order and discipline.
You were wrong.
No. Order would have come in time. They talked me into spying for them, which I did gladly. I spied on two partisan groups until I became known. Then I went into a concentration camp to spy. It was hard. They hated it. The Germans arranged for me and Joseph to escape together because he was a known agent for the Allies.
So you arranged the ambush when we landed?
Yes.
And Dubak?
I did my duty. But I really did want to see you get through to Rajek. After our time together at Dubak's house, I could not betray you.
Maria, I'm shaking all over.
You will have to let go of me, Paul. There is no way my life can be saved. It is the way of going that frightens me.
What do you mean?
Their way of killing a traitor is so slow and so terrible I cannot bear to tell you. It will be my end unless you help me. I know I don't deserve your help, Paul, but please do this last thing for me.
What do you mean?
The rope. Strangled me with it.
Maria.
If you can't, then guard the door and give me a few minutes to hang myself.
No.
Paul, for the love of heaven, I beg you. Don't let them put me to death in their own way. You would never forgive yourself for refusing me.
Offer you some ice-cold water after your long walk.
Yes, please.
I think you're being altogether too polite, Major Ramsden.
Eh?
It's time you told this miniature Hitler what you think of him and his Third Reich.
Please, Lady Agnes, will you leave this to me?
If the good lady thinks she can antagonize me with the name of Adolf Hitler, she's sadly mistaken. He's a person for whom I hold very little esteem. And that applies equally to my adjutant, Lieutenant Weser. Now, may I ask why you have come here, Major Ramsden? It is not customary for a Waffen-SS officer to negotiate with escaped prisoners of war.
Do you still believe that you can win this war?
You have come so far to ask me this?
Tell him straight, Major. Tell him to take his black uniform butchers away from here before they get butchered.
Lady Agnes, for the last time...
May I take it you are not here to discuss terms of surrender?
That's exactly what we're here for.
Major Ramsden, I am not empowered to consider any terms for your surrender. They would have to be...
Listen to him. That is an insult. I'll have you know, we are here to discuss your surrender, not ours.
Oh, no.
Leutnant Weser.
Yeah, we are.
Bring me a bottle of cognac. I think this river water has gone to my head.
Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.